Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Let's pray. O Lord, sometimes we are weak and faint-hearted. Help us to look to you, to look at your strength and the power that you give through your grace. Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you that you have made the way for us to come to you, and that you have gone before us as our pioneer, as the one who perfected our faith. Lord, help us to live out that faith, trusting wholly in you and relying upon your strength. Be with us today as we look at this passage. Prick our hearts with your truth. May my words be true to yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dealing with special needs students, there are often some who you can see at some point in their learning and or whatever the lesson was for that day, all of a sudden they just shut down. And you have to then go back and look and say, okay, why the shutdown? What was the thing that caused them to stop learning at that point? You break things down and you help them over that hump so that they can continue on. Always looking to make sure that they're learning. Well, we often struggle. We often have difficulties where we need to be brought over the hump so that we can continue on to live the life that God would have for us to live in His righteousness. How are we to do that? Well, the writer of Hebrews pictures us running a race, seeing the one who went before us as our pioneer, as our perfecter, as the one who gave his life for us, and we need to both look to him and think about what he did. As we struggle with the things of this world, think about, consider intently what he did. That will enable us to overcome our struggles. So let's first of all look at consider him, verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Consider him. Think about him. Who is he? Well, he's the one, the writer's already said, he's been tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He knows our weaknesses. He's been there before us. And so we should draw near to him. Consider him. Consider him as the pioneer. ESV looking at Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The pioneer, the author, the one who established our faith and has gone before us to show us the way. And the perfecter, the one who brings it to completion. Know that if he began a good work in you, he will bring it to completion. He will make you more and more righteous as you look to him and trust in his grace. Now, how far did he go in order to be the pioneer and perfecter of our faith? Well, Paul tells us to have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus Christ went before us, and the writer of Hebrews tells this people, you haven't resisted to the point of death. The fact is that our pioneer, the one who went before us, the one who is bringing us into the presence of God, went to the point of shedding his blood for us. How far did he go? He went to the point of death. Consider him. How he lived. How he lived a perfectly righteous life. What he did in going to the cross and dying for you. Consider him. That should enable you, if you set your mind on who Jesus is and what he did, it should enable you not to grow weak or faint-hearted. Now, Aristotle used these two words when he was trying to describe a runner after he finished the race. He crosses the finish line and collapses, weak and faint-hearted. Now, he was using that in reference to someone who had already crossed the finish line. That's what we need to do too. It won't matter whether we're weak and faint-hearted once we get into the presence of God. We can just fall at his feet and give him praise that he's brought us there. Now we need to keep running. We need to keep going. And we need to trust in his strength as we run so that we don't grow weak and faint-hearted. So we don't collapse. If you want to see some funny things, just look up collapsing at the finish line on YouTube and you'll see a bunch of people who just go over the finish line and collapse. We don't want to do that before the finish line. Don't grow weak and faint-hearted. Who do we trust in so that we don't grow weak? Well, we read from the first part of Isaiah 40 earlier. And the last part of Isaiah 40 shows us how we don't become weak. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How do we keep from being weak and fainting? We wait on the Lord. We trust in him. We go to him. When you find that you're starting to fade into worry, when you find that you're starting to fade into areas that are troubling you in terms of sin, wait on the Lord. Go to him. Pray to him. Trust that he will give you the strength to carry through. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Now the weakness here, it could be just being sick, could be, you know, having something wrong with you, or it could just be weakness from exhaustion, and that's the picture of the runner falling weak from exhaustion. The faint-hearted, the word heart isn't actually in there. It's more faint-lifed, but I like the translation faint-hearted. It brings across the idea. But it's fainting, and the other word that's there is the word that we use for life or soul. When God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. The Septuagint has psuche there, which is the word that's here. Don't be faint-lifed. Don't faint in your life. Look at what God is doing. Trust in him and look to him for the strength that you need to carry through so that you don't become faint-hearted or weak. When do we become faint-hearted and weak? In our struggles. Verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. What struggles do we have? Well, there's two kinds. Those that come from the outside and those that are from within. Here in this passage, it talks about Jesus and his struggle with sinners, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. There were sinners out there who were doing things that were wrong to Jesus. Does that happen to you? What did Jesus do? Well, he kept going. And he went to where he needed to go in order to save us from our sins. Those sinners who were hostile to Jesus were a part of the plan of God to save us from our sins. How is the hostility that you see? How is the things that you endure from the sinners outside part of God's plan in terms of strengthening you, in terms of helping you to do what God is calling you to do? And how is it a part of his plan to take his message, take his light, take his word to those who are out there who are in darkness, who need salvation? When we face struggles from the outside, do we have the perspective of how can God use this to enable me to proclaim him to the world that's around me? If you look at things with that perspective, it helps you to handle the things that are out there, not only to keep away from sinning, but also to see the purpose in what those things might be. Jesus struggled with sinners who are hostile to him. You might too. He struggled to the point of dying on the cross, and that was necessary to accomplish the purposes of God in saving us from our sins. Be ready for those things, that hostile attitude from sinners around you. Remember, too, that our battle isn't just with the things that we see. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. We don't wrestle just against the things that we can see. There are truly spiritual forces out there that are seeking to impede those that are coming to Jesus Christ and trusting in his grace. And the more that those spiritual forces can trip up those who are seeking to live for Christ, the better off they'll be. The more they'll keep others from coming. Remember that there's a battle going on. Take up the whole armor of God as you fight that battle. So the things from outside, either just sinners that are hostile to what you're doing, those things that are having an impact on your life and your being able to live your life for God, there are those spiritual forces outside that are tripping you up and trying to keep you from doing what you should be doing. But there's also the struggle from inside. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Now, the word soul there is psuche. Don't be faint-hearted. There are those passions of the flesh that are waging war against your soul, that are causing you to become faint. Fight those battles. Don't get caught up in the sins of this world because of the desires of the flesh. Realize that Jesus went through it all without sin, and he can give you the power to do the same. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't be weak. Consider Jesus and what he did. How far do you go in your struggle? Do you go to the point where it's inconvenient to do what God wants you to do? Do you go to the point where, well, I might have to give up a pleasure in order to do what God wants me to do? Hopefully you go beyond those things. As the writer of Hebrews is talking to these people, they're starting to look and see the persecutions that are out there. They're starting to see what might take place in their lives. And he says, you know, you haven't gone as far as your Lord Jesus Christ did. He struggled against sinners to the point of shedding his blood for you. You haven't yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Many of the people in Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of fame of the faith, many of them came to the point of shedding their blood. There have been many through history who have come to the point of shedding their blood. You haven't done that yet, or else you wouldn't be sitting here. Keep looking to Jesus. Consider him. And consider what he would have you to do and how he would have you to live for him, so that you can share the wonder of God's grace with those around you. Look at the difficulties that you face as those things that God puts in your path so that you might grow, or so you might be a witness for him. Give praise for the difficulties. Give praise for the troubles. And see where God is taking you as we look to him, as we consider him. He will help us over those humps and keep us learning, keep us growing, keep us becoming more and more like himself, growing righteousness in us. Consider him. Let's pray. Lord, as we look to you, help us to look to you in all our struggles, to consider what you have done for us, giving your life for us, and being that pioneer, that perfecter of our faith. Enable us to live for you and give praise in all things for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.